effort, Cammy. Hard lines in the elections, and onwards and upwards, free Palestine.
So we're here on the Yellow Brick Road, and I've got a very special guest joining me on the show. They're from a band called DC Dolls, who are a punk rock five-piece band from Dublin, started in 2023, and consists of musicians Vivian, Abby, Sue, Tracy, and Kate. They've released an EP of powerful punk rock songs, and they've played festivals like Electric Picnic in Ireland, and they've played shows out in England as well. And as they gear up to release a brand new single called Blame Me, we have lead guitarist Abby joining me down the line. Hello, Abby from DC Dolls. How's it going?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. All good over here. How are things with you?
Very well. I'm very excited to have you on the show. And I'm also grateful that you took out the time, because you've had a long and very tiring day as well. You've been away at a festival.
Yes. Just came back a few hours ago, so...
And how was that? Was that like a festival that DC Dolls were playing at?
We weren't playing at it, unfortunately. I was just attending, but, you know, it was really nice. I had some of my friends playing at it, so that was a lot of fun as well. It's always good to see other people, other musicians, and support them in any way, shape or form that I can.
Absolutely. Like, it really adds into the community aspect, which I know is also a big part of DC Dolls.
Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm. But you guys also have played festivals yourself, like you're no newcomers to them and everything.
Yeah.
We were just, I just mentioned Electric Picnic. That's a pretty big one. And I was reading a little bit about it. You guys got in through a battle of the bands, which sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it was the very first sort of thing we did as like, it was like our debut show. We just found this battle of the bands down in Leash, and we decided, why not? We'll just enter into it, see how far we can get. We expected nothing to come of it at all, and we ended up winning it and getting to headline one of the days on the Hazelwood stage. And it was a crazy experience. It was super cool, super fun. And it was like the first sort of step into seeing and meeting other really cool musicians that we are now still to this day really close with.
Mm-hmm. And it also like it's like puts you on a stage in front of so many artists, like when you go from playing those little punk rock clubs and kind of the underground dripping little basements and stuff, how does the step up, like how do you kind of play to that big an audience all of a sudden?
It was so crazy. It was just, the adrenaline was unreal, and just seeing like so many faces staring up to the crowd is such an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I bet. And like it also, like, I'm sure teaches you something about how you change your playing style and everything, eh?
Yeah, of course, 100%. It's all a learning experience at the end of the day.
Absolutely. But you guys have also been away for a little while. You released your debut EP last year, and then you went on a short break. And it's not for the usual reasons that, you know, the usual rockstar-y reasons that people go on hiatus. It's not because of side projects or any creative differences, but because you guys were out to give school exams.
Yes, there's 3 out of 5 of us were doing what we call the Leaving Cert in Ireland, which is kind of like your final year exams before you go into college. So we were like, we need to just take a little step back, kind of put the music on pause and just sort of focus on that. But now that we are back, we are 100% ready with starting off with obviously the single release. And then we have a couple of gigs coming up throughout summer, just kind of diving straight in.
Mm-hmm. Like, you guys just went straight back into it. I always find that, like, you know, if I don't practice for a little while, I just convince myself that I've never touched an instrument in my life. Like, it's a nerve-wracking thing. So how were like those first few shows back for you?
So we kind of took it step by step. We kind of just started off with kind of going over our old songs, trying to put some set lists together. And now we're kind of getting back into the swing of it. We're going to be starting to write some more songs soon as well, which I'm so excited for. Try to work on a little bit of an album for next year, maybe even. So we're just kind of taking it step by step, but it's slowly, slowly coming back into play.
I love to hear that big things coming in the DC Dolls camp.
Yeah, 100%.
But I also want to talk about your debut EP, because we just mentioned that it was called Into the Empty Blue, and it was this explosion of just energy, punk rock, feminism, just packed into really great, tight 4 tunes that we can all headbang along to. So tell me a bit about the EP.
So we kind of, when we first started, we just kind of spent 10 to 12 months just writing as many songs as we could. And then when we decided, we got this great opportunity from a producer called Ellen Beamish. She emailed us and was an intern at Windmill Lane Studios and was basically offered to record 4 songs for us. And then we kind of went, well, what are our 4 best songs in our opinion? Which then we picked Countess, Alice Blue, Don't Tell Me to Smile, and Sea of Ghosts. Mm-hmm. So we went to the studio, recorded the 4 of them. You know, they're all, we kind of wanted a big kind of range of songs, kind of different sort of styles as well, so we don't kind of put ourselves into a box. And then obviously we wanted stuff that from friends and family that they enjoyed as well, that we would hope people of the audience will also enjoy as much as we do.
The hits.
Yes.
So what was it like then getting in the studio? Because I feel like now it's so easy for everyone to kind of record stuff in a much more stripped back way. But then you're stepping into a studio and you get to work with kind of, like, it's a learning experience, right?
Yes, 100%. It was such an amazing experience. And, you know, Ellen Beamish was such an amazing producer. She was open to any of our, like, crazy ideas. You know, we were in there with salt shakers for some of the songs and everything. And it was a long process, but it was 100% worth it at the end of the day, I think. It was so great. You know, we got to try loads of different things out. And again, 100% just a big learning experience for us. So now we know exactly what to do next time we're in a big studio like that.
Mm-hmm. And also you mentioned that you worked with Ellen Beamish. How did, because I feel like since you guys are a band that also like talks about kind of gender imbalances and stuff in your music, I feel like was it a conscious decision then to say, oh, you know, we want like a female produced EP as well? Because I feel like we're making progress in like having more girls in bands and having more women on like festival lineups and stuff. But behind the scenes and in production and stuff, I feel like we still don't, I feel like, have as many women producers and stuff. So it's a big deal. Still notable even today.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we weren't kind of looking for a female producer specifically, but when we got the email from her, that was just like the cherry on top. We were like, that was perfect. Because, you know, Alice Blue and Countess and Don't Tell Me to Smile are such powerful songs with such feminist themes behind it that we were so happy to have a female producer sort of there backing us and supporting us along the way.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And like, I also want to talk about the story behind some of those songs. Like, tell me about Alice Blue, because that's a really compelling song lyrically. So,
Alice Blue, that was a song that we wrote about Alice Roosevelt, the daughter of Theodore Roosevelt, who was, you know, known for being a really rebellious character, and her iconic Alice Blue dress, where she got the colour named after her. And, you know, we just thought her as a character, even though less in Irish history and more in American history, was just such an amazing person and had such a big impact in feminist history as well, that we 100% wanted to write a song on her. And credit to Susan, our bassist, who, you know, came up with the whole I picked up from a girl I knew and what she wore was Alice Blue, the chorus. That was full credit to her. And then, you know, we just came together in practice and worked together on the verses and everything. But, you know, it was just such a powerful song, and so, I think, in my opinion anyways, a very catchy song as well, which I think makes it stand out a lot.
Yeah, totally. And Countess as well was one that I wanted to mention. It's a song that we've played on the show before, and I, again, just like love the little lines in there. I'll pick out maybe one or two at random, just like, I may be privileged, but it won't be the same for all. I won't back down. I will fight for what I believe in. Those really stuck out to me.
Yeah, of course. That was that one was written about Countess Markievicz, who was a huge character in Irish history during the 1916 Rising. And she was just so amazing and really stuck out for what she believed in, which is sort of where those lyrics came from. She was a character who really stood up for what she wanted and what she believed was right, and didn't sort of back down in no matter what position she was faced with.
I love that. Like, you know, a lot of bands, especially when they are writing their first songs and the first EPs, a lot of the influences just kind of come from your life and like what's going on kind of within the band and stuff. But I love that you guys jumped straight into it and you were like, two out of four songs are going to be just about like really influential figures, prominent figures in like feminist history and women's history.
Yeah, of course. As I feel like, as an all-female band, that's sort of part of the part of the theme. We have to do that. We have to bring up other people, even if they were from many, many years ago, past and present figures who influenced our lives.
Mm-hmm. And then you also pass them on to your audience, which I feel like everyone gains something more by coming to your shows.
Yeah, 100%.
So then are books and stuff like that maybe a bigger part of your writing process? Like, I just want to dive into that a bit.
Yeah, I definitely think we're all very into our literature. We're currently in the process of writing a song about Sylvia Plath, which might come out maybe if we decide to release it. But we love sort of literature and feminist literature as well. You know, Sylvia Plath and like Emily Dickinson, some amazing writers that we love to listen to, read, and, you know, sort of maybe be influenced a little bit by their writing style when it comes to our lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just like some of the poetic influence might seep in. Who knows?
100%.
So that was the EP that came out last year. It was like really well received. You guys also had headline shows. And I was also reading that the music from that EP was featured in an indie game.
Yes, it was. Our good friends at Scattergood Studios reached out and asked if they could take some of those songs and feature it in their new and upcoming game, which we were 100% open for, and we were so ecstatic to have it, especially with the main character in the game being a feminist sort of female shooter, which we absolutely adore and love.
That worked out just perfectly then.
Exactly.
Which songs were featured?
It was Countess and Alice Blue were the two featured.
Perfect. I love that because I feel like Countess, again, like you were saying, you go for the more catchy punk rock songs. It feels like a theme tune almost, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's got that leading energy to it.
Yeah.
So then let's kind of properly introduce the band also to our listeners. So you guys have been going for a couple of years now, and it's just been, you know, upwards and upwards for you. Your lineup has expanded a bit as well since starting. I think you started as a four-piece.
Yes, we did. So it started off with me and Susan. She put up on TikTok, actually, saying that she wanted to start a band. And just around that time, I was also looking to start a band. So I reached out, and then we kind of got together and we auditioned loads of different drummers and singers, but no one sort of really stuck. Then I knew V from, we used to do theater together. So I asked her if she wanted to come and join the band, and she was so ecstatic and so happy to join. She loved the idea because she's such a great performer. Her stage presence is unreal. And I knew that we needed, if we wanted to have a good front woman, that stage presence was the most important thing. And then with Tracy, our drummer, she actually was talking to me. I know her from school. She was saying to me for ages that she's always wanted to learn the drums. So I helped her get a drum kit. And she literally, a week after starting to play the drums, she came down and played with us. And we were like, you are in the band. She was incredible. And then we met Kate at another competition that we did. She was in a different band, which unfortunately fell apart. But then she helped us out last summer because Susan and V kind of went on holidays. So when we had gigs, when they weren't here, she filled in on bass and singing as well. So that was great help. And then I reached out to her at the end of last year and asked her if she was interested in joining us as a rhythm guitarist. And she was so down for that idea as well. That was amazing. So I think definitely adding Kate sort of gave us a more fuller sound, which we definitely needed, especially for live performances. And she's just been a great help both on stage and behind the scenes as well.
Mm-hmm. And you guys found that you like clicked immediately as a writing unit as well?
Yes, we did. We kind of tried to, as much as we can, to sort of stay out of each other's bubbles so that we don't kind of step on each other's toes and annoy each other when it comes to the writing process. So we usually kind of go away, write some riffs ourselves or write some lyrics, and then we'll come together and just expand off of that. And it just turns into some amazing masterpieces, if I do say so myself.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like it really works together and you guys really found like a band that works and the chemistry works. And like I was just thinking, you were talking about like the stage presence that V brings and everything. I've never had the chance to see you guys live, but from the records and stuff, she's got an incredible voice.
Yes, she's so good. She's been singing for years, you know, my entire life, as long as I've known her, she's just been incredible. You know, when we used to do theater together, she was my biggest competition. She was always the one to beat for the main part, and she was always unbeatable. So I just knew when I was starting the band, I had to have her. She was mm-hmm. always amazing on stage. She was born for the stage.
And the theatricality comes out in the performances as well. Yes. I guess what I'm asking is, what does a DC Dolls live show look like?
So you definitely have V sort of just going wild on stage, just kind of doing her own thing. And then me, Susan and Kate will sort of be on the backing vocals and also just kind of supporting her, kind of letting her take the light. But obviously when it comes to bass solos and guitar solos, we have to have some moments to shine as well. And then we have Tracy in the back, who's just an absolute animal on the drums, who just shreds it to bits.
I love that for you guys. And like in terms of like getting involved with the audience and everything, because the community spirit feels like it's such a big part of the DC Dolls experience. Like how are you guys with audience interactions and stuff?
We definitely try to include at least one song with an audience interaction, whether it's, you know, clapping along or one of us jumping into the audience and dancing along with them. We definitely try as much to sort of incorporate the audience and interact as well, because, you know, when I go to other shows as well, I love when other bands sort of interact with the audience and try to make the audience feel as much as part of the band as the actual band is.
Yeah, totally. Those, I feel like those are the most memorable shows as well.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, when the audience is going crazy, just the energy just bounces back on stage, and then it just kind of helps us go a little bit more crazy on stage too.
Totally. And also like community was one thing that we were talking about, and it's a big part of your ethos almost, I think, at this point. So you've started a series of live shows called 100% Girls.
Yes.
I love the idea of it. What prompted it, and tell me something about it?
So it was just, I was kind of thinking to myself, you don't have many, you know, there's loads of sort of gigs and mini festivals that are female fronted, but never 100% girls. So every time we try to, I sort of organize those gigs, I try to make it that every single band, there's it's all girls, because, you know, it's just really important, I think, to uplift other artists as well and not just sort of have all the light on yourself. It's really nice to see other women sort of excel in something as big as that as well.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like you bring up a good point about like the instrumental side of things as well. Like we see a lot of women behind the mic, but I think it's also equally important that you see them, that like someone that comes to your festival or show can see that like, oh, you've got a lot of girls that are behind the drum kit and a lot of them that are on lead guitar and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's sort of important to break out of the sort of stereotypes that, you know, women are just sort of singers and that's kind of just what they do. Like, women can rock just as hard on any other instrument as well.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have been doing that on your latest single, Blame Me. I've heard a demo of it. I've just been saying, oh wow, that sounds really powerful, and like there's like a kind of a shambolic energy to it as well, where it's like it's holding together, it's threatening to fall apart, and it sounds very punk rock. Yes. Tell me about the single.
So it kind of stemmed with Susan showed up to practice and went, I wrote this bass line at home, and then we've always kind of wanted a song that myself and Tracy, the drummer, swapped with. So that's the one song where I hop behind the drum kit and I let Tracy take the lead on the lead guitar, which I think she does an incredible job at. Susan Couch showed up to practice with this bass line, and then Tracy just sort of added this insane guitar piece to it. And I just kind of did my thing on drums, and then, you know, we sat down and we all wrote the lyrics together, which the lyrics are about sort of, you know, when you meet someone and they just take everything really personal and they're always the victim in every single situation, even if they mm-hmm. do it wrong, they're always the one to, and then they always sort of flip it back on you to make you the villain, because I hate people who do that. So I just kind of had to let my anger out on that. So we gave V the lyrics and, you know, she just went crazy. And then when Kate joined, you know, her and Tracy sat down and kind of expanded just to really make the guitar sound a lot more full and give the song a bit more of a upbeat and crazy energy, I think is a good mm-hmm. way to put it.
So have you guys like had the chance to play this song live? Because I feel like when you like have the moment where Tracy gets up from the drum kit and you do the little swap, it almost becomes a moment in the show.
Yes, it 100% does. We've played it a couple times live, and you know, the audience I think loves it. One of the times Tracy nearly fell off the stage. She was rocking out so hard. That was insane. But it's always been so much fun, and I'm really excited to play it live after it's been released.
I love that. I feel like that's almost a better endorsement of your shows than anybody can give, that you're going so crazy and so hard that you almost fall off the stage.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's coming up for you guys? Like, you've obviously been sitting on a lot of songs. Is there any kind of timeline in mind for future EPs or albums or tours?
Yeah, so we're obviously releasing this next song on the 11th of July, and then we have a gig on the 13th of July. So to kind of promote it and put it out there. And then we have, you know, a couple gigs throughout August, you know, on the 2nd of August and the 23rd of August, I believe. And then we have some more gigs in September, like the 100% Girl one, that's on the 28th of September. And, you know, we're just going to see what other opportunities come up. We have an ethos in the band to not do so many gigs in such a short period of time, because you don't want to become one of those bands that it's like, oh, you can see them whenever. So we really want our gigs to be like, oh yeah, we have to go and see the DC Dolls. Like, they don't play that often, so we need to take this opportunity to get as many people as we can to all our gigs, because there's no point doing three gigs in the span of a week. People just won't come. But so we try to space out all our gigs. We're trying to do as many as we can, really sort of get ourselves out there. And then at the end of the year, we're going to be releasing another song called Are You Lost, which we're really excited. It's a complete different vibe to the rest of our songs. It's really slow and melodic, and we've played that a couple of times as well, and the audience seems to really like that, kind of take a chill vibe in the middle of our sets. So really excited for people to hear that as well. But Blame Me is going to be an amazing song. I'm so excited for the feedback on that.
I love that. And that's the song that we'll be playing at the end of this interview today as yeah. well. But I also have to ask you, because we always like doing this, always happy to discover like new music and stuff. The DC in DC Dolls stands for Dublin City.
Yes, it does.
What are any newer local bands that you'd like to shout out to that we should be listening to?
There's so many. I definitely think Problem Patterns is a huge one. I know you saw
them. They were on the show. Yeah, they were on the show just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, they're insane live. One of the best bands I think I've ever seen. Gurriers is another one. They're really starting to take off. They're really good as well. And then, you know, I have to shout out some of our friends like The Swings and Juggernaut. They're really good as well. And like Dopamine and Thanks Mom. They're all really great bands that I think everyone should check out on Spotify.
I love that. And there were a few names in there that I've never heard of before. So I'm looking forward to checking out Thanks Mom and Juggernaut. And what was the other band you'd mentioned?
There was The Swings and Dopamine. Swings?
Okay, I will check all of them out. Gurriers, I did see some of their clips from Glastonbury. That's obviously a huge moment.
Class. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so like huge stuff coming out for a lot of like music from Ireland right now is really having a moment.
Yes, 100%.
So people can listen to your new song. By the time this interview goes out, the song will be available. Where can people keep up with you guys to find it and listen to it?
We are all streaming platforms at DC Dolls, and then on all social medias like Instagram and TikTok at DC Dolls Band.
And there's a Bandcamp as well, right?
I don't think we have a Bandcamp. I've been meaning to set one up, but hopefully in the future we will have a Bandcamp up.
Okay, and then people will probably get to know that from your socials anyway.
Yes, of course.
Well, so I guess we'll go out with Blame Me. Abby from DC Dolls, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. So much fun. Abby from DC Dolls, and you're listening to CFRC Radio in Kingston, Canada.
KPP Concerts has a stacked lineup of all-ages concerts happening at the Broom Factory through this summer into early fall. On June 27th, check out Housewife, followed by Friday's Child at the Broom Factory on July 11th. Then on August 10th, enjoy music from hip-hop artist Matt Mac, followed later by The Dirty Nil on September 19th. Then on September 26th, it's Petite Belle Evo and neo-grunge icons The Bridge City Sinners coming to town on September 27th. And then Yukon Blonde gets us into the fall spirit on September 28th. All shows are all ages at the Broom Factory and co-presented by CFRC 101.9 FM. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com.
All right, it is now just a little after the 9:30, and you are listening to CFRC FM 101.9 FM, cable channel 954 in Cogeco, and available on the World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca. I am Weave, and good evening, those who, are still managed to sort of stay awake in this heat. I salute you and thank you very much for staying up and kicking it. Myself, I kind of like it here because Carruthers Hall is nice and basement-y, cool, in a cave-like sort of a way with, lots of music, and that's what I'm going to bust out the next hour and a half. It's going to go kind of all over the place. Top of the hour, we're going to do a little bit of a DC hardcore leading into a hip-hop set, leading into, just all sorts of stuff, as well as things like the Mark Inside and Spoon and the Smugglers and Pine Tarts and so on and so forth. I'm just really going to bash right into the music right away. We're going to have some weirdies in a moment, but to start it all off, this album I really like, this Penny and the Pits, this Liquid Compactor album that came out a few months ago. I'm a digging it, and I played it a couple times, and I'm going to play it again. So this is a song, the opener, I think, from the record, Montenegro on Ice. So here is Penny and the Pits on CFRC.
I'm tape.
Every, tell me the infamy.
We'll be right back. chain rattles on my wrist. Tight and cool as I make a fist. I stare at you as I begin to reminisce. You're the cause and I'm the effect of every last thing that is going on in the present day. The mockery of the mind, they say. Born in the 80s as I stoop to dig my own grave. Politicians and the rules of attraction, satisfaction, and regulated ways of living. Well, it might be fine for most of us living stiffs. And they say, we'll be right back.
right? The Mark Inside with Nothing to Admit from the False Flag EP, which I think is like one of the last things they did before the band ended, 2010. Prior to that, we had Spoon in there with Rainy Taxi, and we had The Disengagement with Deader Than Ever. You know, I kind of like those three as sort of like a trifecta. They work really well together. And, you know, running before that, just really quickly, we had some Smugglers in there to serve, protect, and entertain. We had the Bacchanalness, or